Good morning on this 10th of January 2021. The readings for today are from Genesis chapter 1 verses 1 to 5 and Mark chapter 1 verses 4 to 11. And I found myself last week preaching about today and being about New Year's Day or wishing people a happy New Year and just talking about the day. And I'm referred to this passage in Genesis chapter 1. Not realizing, I think, or not even remembering that it was going to come up again today in today's readings. Now this is a different day because, again, we're in lockdown and our churches are closed. And we find ourselves in a situation where we can't even meet together to worship God. We're dependent on the internet. Yes, modern technology, and it's good that we have it, but depending on the internet to be able to enter into some semblance of worship. Watching people online, ministers online who are good at what they do and understanding the technology, or looking at historical data of historical services of people worshiping God, so that we can have a sense of being together. But I want to encourage you, wherever you are, and whoever's listening to this, or whenever you get to listen to this, that God is always with you. You're never alone. You're never alone. And that doesn't matter whether you're a single person, or you're a widow or a widower. You're never alone, for God is with you. You see, the two passages in Genesis chapter 1 and Mark chapter 1 both have the same thing that I want to talk about. And I'll say it like that, but I'll explain it a bit further. I'll go in a sense in reverse order, and I'll start with Mark chapter 1 verses 4 to 11, which essentially talks about John the Baptist and how John the Baptist was the one who came to prepare the way. And in Mark's Gospel, it starts straight away with this story. But I think it's around verses 9 to 11 where it actually talks about Jesus being baptized by John. And the thing that's important for me in the way that Mark describes it is that you see the three persons of God, the three persons in the Trinity together. Because you have this picture of Jesus coming to John, the person, the man, John's cousin, because John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. And John was 6 months older than Jesus, because we remember over the Christmas story about how Mary went to visit with Elizabeth whenever Mary had this experience of meeting the angel. And when Mary walked into Elizabeth, the baby, John the Baptist, who was in Elizabeth's womb, leapt for joy because Mary had entered, and Mary was already pregnant with Jesus, but pregnant with Jesus by the Holy Spirit. It was very, very new, and yet John the Baptist in his mother's womb knew it, and at that point he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But the point of me saying that is that we were told in that passage that Elizabeth was 6 months with child whenever Mary met with Elizabeth. And so we know that there's about 6 months difference in age between John the Baptist and Jesus. And so John the Baptist was there in the desert and by the River Jordan, and along came Jesus. Jesus, the man of God. Jesus, the Son of Man and the Son of God. And John baptized Jesus in the water in the River Jordan. And when Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descended from heaven onto Jesus' head. And then there was like the thunder and the rumbling, but it was the voice of God, the Father, who then spoke and said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so you have Jesus, God, the dove, the Holy Spirit, God, and the voice of the Father, God, all together in the one place. And it's so easy in a way to see how this can be confusing to people. But how can all three be God? And yet that is how God has revealed himself to us. He is able and capable of existing in a sense as these three different persons and yet still remain one God. One God. Now I want to, in a sense, just leave it there and go to Genesis. And in the story of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, and yes, last week I talked about how this passage ends in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. And that's what I talked on last week, but I want to go back to the beginning of the passage, right at the beginning of the Bible. Let me read from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the first three verses of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. But I want to pick out here the three faces, if you like, of God. I want to pick out the Trinity of God. It says, in the beginning God created. Now, I believe that's God the Father. God created. Or even if you like, all of God. But God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So there you have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. And then it goes on and it says, then God said. Now I believe that the then God said is referring to the Father. So you have the Father speaking and you have the Holy Spirit hovering over the darkness and over the face of the waters, as it says. So you've got the Holy Spirit of God, who is God, and you've got God speaking. And then the third part, which is Jesus, is it says, then God said, let there be light. Now, how can I say let there be light is talking about Jesus? And the reason why I can say that is because of what it says in the Gospel of John, John 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I'm linking these two passages together because in Genesis 1, when God said, he spoke words. Or if you like, he spoke the Word. And the Word is identified in John chapter 1 as being Jesus. And so right at the beginning of the Bible, we have this picture, we have the scene being displayed where you have the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters. You have God the Father speaking the Word, Jesus. Right at the beginning. And I want you to remember too what I've said recently is that this whole story is more than just a story. It's like a love letter that God has written to us. And that's why I say to you, or why I said at the beginning of this sermon, even if you're single or you're widowed or a widower, you are not on your own. Because Almighty God is with you. And you may be aware of him as being a father who loves you. And who wants to give you a hug. Who wants to cuddle you. Who wants just to put his arms of love around you. And it's not wrong that I talk about God in that way. Because that is who he is. Or he may come to you as the Holy Spirit who is speaking into your heart and telling you good things. Telling you and reminding you that you're loved. telling you and reminding you and pointing you to scriptures that tell you these things, that God is for you, that he's not against you. And no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what the sickness is, you do not have anything to fear because he is with you. And in talking in that line, you may see God as Jesus, because Jesus stands before us and here, look at my hands, see the nail prints. And my feet, see the nail prints. And look at my side, just like he did with Thomas. Believe, I have already paid the price for you. I've died for you. I am your Savior. I am the Savior of the world. And so we can take strength and encouragement, even in the midst of these terrible times and the things that are going on. We do not need to be those who are afraid. And we do not need to fear, for God is with us. And even more than that, my God is with me. I'm in my home again in the rectory here in Listisgi. And I'm looking out on a nice picture today. Yes, it's damp and there's not the blue skies that we had a couple of days. But it's a nice picture because all the snow's gone. All the ice is gone. And I much prefer that. It may be darker with clouds, but it means that the temperature has risen. And it's nicer. It's fresher to be in. It's safer to drive in. Even with the little driving that I may be doing. But it's safer. And it's good. And it's nice to look at. And in saying that, it encourages me that he's with me. And even when I think back on the last couple of days with the snow, with the ice, even then, he was still with me. And I know that tomorrow, whatever tomorrow holds, he will be with me then also. And so I want to encourage you, as you listen to this, to dig deep perhaps into your heart and identify with God. God the Father who loves you. He just wants you to come and perhaps sit in his lap. Come and just be close to him. God, the Holy Spirit, who wants to talk to you, to reassure you that you are loved. And Jesus, who stands there with the pierced hands and just with the signs of crucifixion, to show you that he very much loves you because he died for you. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God loves me. Hold on to that. Do not fear. Do not doubt. But realize that you are loved. Realize that he has written you a love letter in the Bible. Because it's how he views us. And it's all and everything that he has done for us. Because he wants us to be with him forever. But not only forever and ever, amen, but right now. And to take heart in that, and to be encouraged in that, and to realize you are not alone. Your God, my God, loves you. And he's with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen.